From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
My team one day goes, what's this work in the dark you talk about? I go, I don't know. It's like the stuff that you do that no one's cheering you on to do. It's just like the sense that gives you pride and confidence to battle for what you desire in defining moments of life.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Senziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbagino. How's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good. I just learned that flag football is in the Olympics, brother. I mean, if flag football is in the Olympics, then what's this world coming to?
You know, they probably got badminton too, but we're not going there. We got a special guest today. Today's guest is a former NFL football player and entrepreneur. He teaches people how to access the power of their identity, tap into their full potential, and make shift happen. Woo! Excited about this one. So, without further ado, Anthony Trucks, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. Good morning to you guys. You guys are not, it's like before I usually to meet other people in the world, but it's the only time you guys have your stinking schedule. So like, I'm up at 7 a.m. Let's do it, guys.
Hey man, you got up earlier than that. So,
I did.
I want to hear a little bit about your background, but I'm gonna make a comment here. Yeah. Anthony Trucks. That's got to be the best football name ever.
One,
like,
right?
If you're about to hit somebody, you want your name to be Truck. So I wanted to at least acknowledge that.
My nickname in college was a truck stop. I hit somebody if you drive by a car as a kid and put your hand out the window to get in the honk the horn.
Yeah.
So when I had a big play in college, I would do the truck stop. You have like a whole student section. My teammates
go out to center field.
Go hard. And then I get a penalty, and my coach is like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Bro, you guys told me to do it."
So. It's all fun and games till someone gets a flag.
For real, it really is.
So yeah, please share with us your background and how you got started in business.
Yeah, in coaching, this whole world, man. I grew up in a crazy environment. Was given away as a kid in foster care. Navigated a bunch of different things there. System for 11 years, adopted by a very poor all-white family. So kind of had to navigate this. Who am I? Where do I fit in? Tried my hand at football, was horrible at it. And then kind of after a couple of years of not liking the feeling of sucking at this thing that I really wanted to do, I found a way to lean in and get really good at it. So I got a scholarship, played college football at the University of Oregon, had my high school sweetheart, and I had a kid at a young age and 20 years old my sophomore year, met my real dad, got to the NFL. NFL stands for not for long, tore my shoulder, came home, blew up my life, had a couple more kids with my then wife. And then we got divorced for 3 years, had a horrible kind of separation, because what happens when you know someone at that age, like from high school on. And then we somehow found our way back to each other. We're now remarried, have an amazing marriage.
That's fantastic, man. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you, man. It's the beautiful part of my life is that. Like, I love my wife. I have an amazing life, man. And so I give back in a way of teaching people how to run the race that I've crossed the finish line of. I can't teach you everything, but if you want to navigate the different crap in your life and go, who am I in this? Or like when football ended, who am I without football? Or you leave the military, send a kid to college, or like your business gets sold, or you get a new job, whatever it is. When I don't know who I am in this, I help people develop that sense of self so they can dominate it.
Anthony, what made you want to become good at football? You said you sucked early on. What was that desire to be good at that sport?
You know, it was this moment where these two girls were talking in a classroom. It was Mr. Howell's English class, and I had like checked out of this football thing because I'd love to do it, right? But I wasn't good at it. And we all have that moment where we try something, we suck, and we go, I don't want to do it internally. And externally, we say, oh, the market was bad. Oh, I didn't know how to do this. Or, you know, like you make these crazy excuses when really it's just uncomfortable. And for me, I'd given up on this thing. And I had this moment where these two girls said this statement. And one girl says, well, the reason I'm so bad is because I'm in foster care. And for me, it's this thing where you hear it and you go, ooh, that's a crappy excuse. And I go, ooh, it's my excuse. And when you hear your stupid excuse, you go, I don't want to have that. So I made a decision. I'm going to be great. And at 15 years old, when it took place, I was like, I got two things to be great at. One is I'm going to get a bunch of girls' phone numbers, because why not? 15-year-old little boy, you know? And then the other was like, I'm going to try this thing in football. And it was what I did, right? You know, it really actually kind of did. But I leaned into this thing of football. I was like, well, I'm not good at the game. Who is good at the game? What do they do? And I saw what they did, and I go, oh, I'm not the kind of guy that does that. And I go, but if I want to be that person, I got to do those things. And that was kind of the catalyst. And so, yeah, I just leaned back into something and started really ugly and found some way to be great at it in time.
What did you have to do to get yourself better? We're good friends with Julius Thomas on the show. And what I love about his story, he played for the Broncos. He played about 7 or 8 years. And he actually played pretty long. And he's got a whole program out there. What I love about him is he went back to become a student. And I love his whole framework. He's got mastery. He's got certain different things that you need to do. What did you do back then? Because I'm sure you built it out. And that's stuff that you're teaching other people today. At that young age, what are the things that you needed to do to become great?
Yeah, well, here's what I'll tell you, man. It's not rocket science. It is simple, but it's not easy. That's really the key to all of it. It's actually where the catalyst for the name of my brand came from, which is called Dark Work. But there was a window of time where I go, hey, I want to be a good receiver. So I'm gonna catch a ball every day. So I would lay on my back, throw the ball in the air 500 times a day and catch it. I go, well, I got to be a little bit bigger. So I go to the weight room. I would lift weights. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, I'm just going to move things till my muscles hurt, you know, so you do things. Then I would go run routes and I would do sprints. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that people that were great were doing these things. And what happens is interesting. You do it the first couple of weeks and people make fun of you. Hey, Trucks, we got butterfingers. Why are you catching footballs? Dude, you're slow. What are you out there running around? Hey, skinny boy, get out the weight room, you know? And so you get this ridicule from your teammates and people that know you. It's like they don't know you to be that person, but you keep doing it. And eventually they go from like, you're still out there. Dang, this guy Trucks is still working. Like, hey, Trucks, can I get a workout with you? And you build. And when I showed up the next year, I had this mentality of I've done too much work in the dark for you to take what's mine in the light. And it was this guttural sense of ownership for my success. Like, I'm going to get it. I worked for it. I already got it. And so anybody listening going, well, I don't get football. You don't have to get football. Here's what it was. There was something I wanted. There were things that I had to do to be great at it that didn't feel like they were part of me. It felt like a fish out of water, like I was in somebody else's skin. But you do that damn thing. And the more you do it, the more you learn about the pitfalls, the highs, the lows, and the more that you have this investment bias, which is, I've done this, I've built into it, I want a return. The return on our efforts is always confidence, self-esteem, awareness, knowledge, experience. None of us sitting here right now who can talk about something with depth and with confidence, none of us got here without doing stuff that was ugly and dirty and long and hard that no one cheered for, but it allowed us to get to this point now and go, I got this. It's who I am. I've got too much invested in this. And that's what people skip out on. And so I did that at 15. And yes, I've done it throughout my life. Didn't realize what it was really until I got to the later part of my life. But that was the key, man. It's not a secret. It's simple. It's just not easy for most people to stay in a pocket of doing something that is killing their soul to do.
You said something that's really important. And maybe you teach this. You said something that you wanted. Most people out there will tell you what they don't want, myself included. When I was at my restaurant, I'm like, I don't want to be here. Well, good, Gino. What the hell do you want? Can you help somebody out there who's struggling to help them identify what they want, what they're here for, what their soul purpose is, God put them on this planet?
I had to go through this journey myself, right? It's funny. It's people have desires, and the desires are sometimes ones they don't want to share with people. So sometimes it's a desire that people will shun, so we don't say it out loud. And if we don't say it out loud, we don't own it. We don't live into it. I know people, I go like, hey, what's your dream? Oh, it's my dream. Okay, cool. If I call your best friend, will they tell me the same thing? Oh, well, probably not. Oh, well, why not? Well, they might make fun. I don't tell them. Okay, well, then you're not going to live into that because the fear of them even knowing about it, you're not going to do it in your real life. That's the first part of it. Second thing, people go, I want to know my purpose for being here. And I go, that's a great gift. What do you do to earn it? They go, what do you mean? I go, well, you got to do something to earn the clarity of your purpose. And here's what I've noticed is the journey. You find something you're first curious about. We all have curiosities about things, something that kind of sparks our interest or tickles our fancy. Like, that's kind of cool or unique or weird. Like, I want hang gliders. These guys just hop off of mountains and glide up into the air with no jets, no power, just a big sail. Like, so you get curious about something, and the curiosity will fuel your efforts towards learning about something without being stressed off the hours, right? So you give this curious energy, you'll Google it and look it up, and you'll be doing right. Then what happens, you show up and start doing some stuff, and that investment bias kicks in. I start getting this time put in, and now we start having this passion towards it. I get this passion of this thing that's unique and it's cool. And you tell people about it. You're excited about it because the curiosity flowed. Your time was spent. You got passionate, right? And then eventually, I think as we're walking down these paths of passion, we stumble into potholes of purpose. I just kind of like, oh wow. I didn't know this existed as a career. Like, it's kind of a cool thing. I didn't know this hobby existed out in the world. And all of a sudden, you start finding out this thing you're supposed to do. The only reason you found it is because you were bold enough to chase your curiosity, lean into the passion and keep taking steps towards a purpose. And then it reveals itself to you. So people are going like, I don't know what to do. Get up and move. It's you're not going to get that gift sitting in a chair. It's not going to smack you in your face one morning. Like, get up and do something for it.
Gino, can I share a quick story on curiosity?
Yes, of course, my friend.
No, he sparked something in me. Going back to 2011, I was living in New York at the time, and I was looking at the 50 states the same way many people would look at cars on Auto Trader. They're going through, seeing the benefits, the potential issues, things that they thought were nice. And I started an Excel spreadsheet, and it all started with curiosity, to Anthony's point. And I said, all right, I'm looking for better weather. The weather in New York is not good. Okay, so I'm looking for a red car, whatever the case may be, right? It's a silly comparison, but it's a lot of truth, because I don't think people realize the capability they have to shop when living in the United States. And then I started saying, okay, what's more affordable? Who's not going to have state income tax? Who has better property taxes? And I started filtering off of that. What states are business friendly? And I came up with a short list, and ultimately I ended up moving to Tennessee. And this was, you know, back in 2011, before it was cool and it was a thing. You don't even know where the hell I was moving to at the time. But that curiosity led to so many different things in my life. And that move and that willingness to get off my ass and try something sparked everything that is the businesses that I'm involved in today. So I'm not saying it's you just got to get up and move somewhere or take. But if you're curious, explore it, to Anthony's point. Get in the hang glider, if you will. I'm telling you, though, there's a lot of truth to that. And one of the biggest things that impacted my life was that move from New York to Tennessee and the doors that it opened and having to be, you know, independent on my own and figure it out. So if you're out there and you're considering it, take the chance. Because this is the same thing I said to my wife at the time. What's the worst thing that can happen? She said, well, we move home. I said, then we're going to go. We're going to give it a shot. And it worked out. So great point, Anthony. Yeah.
Jake, yeah. Do you mind if I share a little tidbit with you, though?
Then we got to get back to Anthony, though, because he's okay.
Good, I enjoy this. Good, hang out.
Well, it's interesting that you say about curiosity. I'm going to ask Anthony his thoughts. Most people aren't curious, and I think people become curious when they're either leaving an amazing life or when their life really sucks. When they're just like sitting around eating Cheetos and they're just hanging out, they're not really curious because they're just comfortable. But at my age, at 38 years old, I hated my life. My life sucked. I just didn't want to be at the restaurant anymore. And I got damn curious. I'm like, well, what do I need to do? What are the next steps? And you in 2011 in a one-bedroom apartment paying $1,500, giving that money to the New York State, you got damn curious because you had some pain in your life. So for those of you out there, maybe you need to experience a little bit of pain, a little bit of fear to say, huh, why am I here? And I think that was my revelation from your story going, well, me and you had massive pain. That's why we got together. That's why we became curious about multifamily. That's why we did the journey together. And that's why we've been swallowing crap for the last 15 years and getting better every single day, because we've been curious and we want to continue to grow that curiosity. Anthony, what are your thoughts on that?
Or Anthony, any specific stories about curiosity that you may have?
Oh, for myself, I got a whole bunch, bro. Look what I do for a living. This is not supposed to be.
He is Mr. Curiosity.
No, I think you have to manufacture the fear too, because sometimes we can get lulled to sleep into a life of distraction, especially nowadays. You can find a way to bide your time and hang out and just, you can survive, right? So sometimes you have to wake up and go, oh, wow, my life does suck. And there is pain in this thing. I've been distracting it with drinking and partying, hanging out with my friends, right? Whatever it is, you can easily get through every single day and just have it wallow away. So sometimes manufacturing that moment by just pausing and going, do I actually want to be doing this exact thing in the next year, 2 years? If you don't, now you have some pain to be able to create that motion. But for me, yeah, man, I got done with football. And I was like, I have a degree in kinesiology. I'm going to do what no other athletes have ever done. I'm going to go into fitness, you know? So I go do this fitness thing. I agree, though. So I'm doing it. And I was like, I'm going to retire doing that, right? And then people go like, hey, you're really good at training these kids. Do you mind coming and talking to our groups about how you train your athletes? I go, yeah. So I started talking about training athletes. Went as far as like Russia. It was like teaching and speaking. And then at one point, someone goes, what's your personal story around? Like, how'd you get to doing this? Oh, so I told the story. They go, oh, interesting. Do you mind sharing that story? And I go, I guess so. So I told it. People loved it. And I go, that's interesting. So I was like, this whole nuance of opportunity open up to tell my story from a stage, right? I was already curious about speaking and teaching when I was doing in the gym. That's a curiosity opened up and people asked more questions and I flowed. And then at one point in time, I get introduced to this guy named Brennan Burchard. And I'm in this event where it's called Experts Academy, and it's all about unpack your story.
Gino's hero, if you didn't know that. Maybe you guys
my boy. I just went to an event last month. I think he's an amazing dude. Yeah. I mean, Experts Academy 2011. I mean, that's he's part. He's the Jake. We launched our stuff because of him. Big shout out to Brendan.
So we did this. We did for me, right? So I just maybe you like this. Is I went to the event. I was a guy in the audience, and then somehow somebody heard my story from his team and told him. And like, I kept going to events for a couple of years and buying tickets and doing the work, you know, because I was curious about this whole world of like maybe people can benefit from my life story. And over time, and eventually became a volunteer for his team for like 3 years. Started speaking on his stages. Like we're buddies now. He lives nearby me in Napa. And I was on his stage actually, and he did this thing down in LA the first of last month, this month actually. So like he's become a friend and a colleague. We're part of a mastermind, but like the curiosity led me towards this room where I'm now like venturing out beyond the sports world and the fitness world and telling personal stories, right? So the curiosity led me to this. And I honestly couldn't tell you what else I could do on this planet besides this. Like I absolutely love getting in front of people. I get in front of 5,000 people and just do my thing, right? They love it. I then go home and I spend time with my family. I then have a business where I teach people how to do what it is I do. I work with the Amazons and the PayPals and the T-Mobiles. I had a client out here just this last weekend and went and watched the Niner game, who's an Amazon VP, like phenomenal humans. And I go like, this would never have happened if I didn't try to see what was next for me and chase the curiosity. I could have easily still been in the gym or still been consulting or still been teaching fitness, you know, at different venues around. But then at some point, I've always chased what's next without fear of losing what I have.
Anthony, one thing that you did really well and that Julius Thomas did really well is you guys were able to say, I'm going to become a beginner again. I'm going to suck at this. Yeah. And you know, I mean, from being in the Super Bowl to sitting in the front row of getting his doctorate degree in neuroscience, I mean, like he is a beginner again. He's willing to suck at it. You have to talk about that a little bit because there's a lot of humility that comes with that and a lot of grace that comes with that and a lot of ego that you're saying, I was great at something. Now I'm a beginner. And I think you need to do that. You embrace that and it get with your curiosity. But it must be challenging for a lot of us to be able to do that.
It's not that it's challenging. It's that our ego gets challenged. Mm-hmm. And this you're directly in an area that people go, well, how come so many guys leave the NFL and go bankrupt? And I go, because they're trying to go back to a world with the chip on their shoulder of how great they were, right? You're not that guy anymore. You're that human being, yes, but you're not that character that the world used to see. You're now like all of us, right? And so for me, I look a lot of guys come back and go, I'm a former NFL guy. I'm not going to get a job. Like, yes, you are. Like, you want to live for the next 40, 50. You got to get something else going, right? So most guys,
that hurts though, right? That's a lot of pain for guys. I mean, come on.
It's a lot of pain for everybody. Imagine if you have this, you guys have this amazing business and you build this business. And maybe one day you choose to sell it, right? You step back and you're like, oh, freedom, good. And you wake up one day and what you'll find is this reality. I can no longer do what I used to do every day. And then you go, well, what value am I to the world if I can't do the thing that I used to do? Also, I'm not great like I used to be. The accolades and the joy like from feeling, I don't get to experience that. We start questioning our existence and it sucks. And so what you do, like you're saying, is you have to go back and you have to start again and you have to find the joy in the journey of it. Like for me, we all want to be great. I love the feeling of being a football player. But then when I left that, went to something else, my immediate feeling at 26 years old was like, all right, I open a gym. Where's my joy and success for being great at this? And like, I hadn't built it up. So what I was doing going, I built this amazing.
Did you go through a dark time though, during that transition?
Oh, I was suicidal. I was horrible. It was crazy. That 3 years I told you about
divorce. Is this why so many people that quit a job or retire from a job that they've done for 30 years die within like a few years after that, do you think there's a correlation
what do you give to, right? We're used to giving to something, and then if you have nothing to give to, you fall apart. And I 100% believe it.
How long did you fall apart for?
So I left the game and I lost myself and didn't know. I was trying to rebuild it, and my marriage fell apart. Wife had an affair, everything went sideways, like legitimately, like craziness ensued, we'll call it. And I was just floating, man, distracting myself from crazy. Here's what it was. I wouldn't accept the fact that I wasn't amazing. It wasn't me. You know,
but that's a bullshit statement, though. It's not that you're not amazing. It's you're not a football amazing anymore.
Exactly. That's the thing. And you can't sometimes differentiate because what I was using as my filter, most of us do, like our identity is tied to I have the car, I have the house, I have the girl, I have the job. When we are what we have, when we lose what we have, we are nothing to ourselves. And so what happened was I left the game and I go, I can't do it. I don't have that feeling anymore. It's kind of like this. I say it's like a tree and the fruit of your labor is that fruit, right? The fruit falls off the tree. The apple falls on the ground like football fell on the ground and it rolls around. For a little bit, that fruit's edible, right? It's good, but eventually it rots. And you go, gosh, I suck. I feel rotten. I feel like nothing, right? And then you don't realize that you've never been the fruit. You've always been the damn tree, like you're saying. So when you go back and go, oh, if I take care of the tree, I can produce sweeter, more abundant fruit. Well, then you can do that. For me, I was the apple. And so what you're saying is, yes, 100%. I had to take 3 years to realize I was the common denominator in all of my failures and all my pain also, but all my success, right? And so I go, damn, like if I could create football, what else could I create? I started recreating my sense of self and who I was. And this is where I developed a different guy. The work I do is an identity. And I explain it like this. You cannot attain or sustain a life above your current identity, your habits, your actions, your patterns, your perspectives. And so when you have certain things set, you do certain stuff that gives you stuff in life. When you stop operating below that, or you don't express your identity properly in a certain area, you don't get those things. So yes, I left the game, was like, without football, I'm nobody. It's what I heard in my head. When the reality was like, no, I'm dope. I just got to reapply that stuff. And when I did, I made an amazing life.
You were not the tree though. You were the apple and the seed. And the transition was a time from when the apple disappeared and the seed planted itself back in the ground and you regrew. I think that's the piece, the story that you may be missing there. Because when you were saying that, I had a visualization in my head of the apple falling down and rotting. And then you went back to the tree, but ultimately you were the inner core was there. You just had to go, you had to go underground for a minute and build yourself back up and grow stronger from that.
It's possible.
I'm sorry. I'm going deep right now, man. You know, like you're getting the wheels turning here, man.
Well, the way I look at it is this,
we're going to write a spirituality book.
Yeah, no, we could sit here and do it. No, but if you think about it, how I frame it, your identity is not one thing. You're expressed in multiple areas, right? Yeah. I express the way I'm with you is different with my wife, with my kids, my football. It just is. Same person, right? But we create these things, and I call them the fruits of our labor. That was one of the fruits. And the thing is the way I frame it is we are this tree that's always growing, always producing. And sometimes that tree is withered and it doesn't produce fruit because the nutrients suck. So what I would say in your framing is like, I would say I am the tree, but I may not have been having the tree in the good soil, giving it the sunlight it needed, pruning the branches, taking care of that kind of stuff, right? And so when that part of the tree, that fruit of the labor fell off, I wasn't the fruit. I wasn't the car. I'm not the house. I'm not the relationship. That's not who I am. I am the being that created that. But if you don't take care of the thing that created that, it won't create anything else. And everything else will also rot and die. So I think when the fruit fell off of football and I was only focused on that, well, I stopped focused on the fruit of my marriage, the fruit of my parenting, the fruit of my health, the fruit of the business. I was just focused on this and then the tree died. And so I had to go back and give a better soil, which is putting in the right environments with the right people, put better nutrients in, read, learn, pay attention, be around people like yourselves. Like that gave me what the tree needed to create better and sweeter fruit. And so, but yeah, you could also step back and I could frame it from a million ways. Maybe I'm the sun looking down, right? Who knows?
What about the thing though with the football and, you know, how life was going at the time? Do you think the relationship at the time with your wife worked because of the attention and the football and the things that were coming with it, so you didn't have to focus on those as much? And then when football dropped out, well, that huge vacuum is now sitting there, so other stuff started to domino, and you're like, well, I gotta pay attention to this stuff and actually put work into it.
There's a few dynamics of our marriage, because we were together in high school, so she was around before any of this stuff took place, right? She knew me at my core, so that was a benefit. I didn't need like some Jersey chaser in college, which is good. No, so that was that journey. We had a kid at a young age. We've always been tight, you know, went to the NFL. What I think happened was two part for us. We were so young together that we didn't ever experience a lot more beyond that. And that world of football presented more to us that we knew. That when I lost, like there was a reason also for me to be gone. I was gone 7 to 10 months out of the year. My wife was just herding my son back home, living life without dad, just watching him on TV, you know. And so when I would come home, it was this thing where like we had slowly separated because my wife's a person of, you know, physical time. Like she needs to have that quality time with you. So we'd be on the phone and everything. But on the East Coast, like I get up before they're up. I go to bed before they go to bed. So it wasn't always that time to connect. So when I did finally come home, I was now ushered into a setting where she was not used to me being there. I also then left to go build this gym business. And we had two more kids. So it's like this dynamic of she was overwhelmed. We're 26 years old with three kids under the age of four. I'm gone doing this gym business thing. It's not making any money. We're at home, can't pay bills because it's not making any money, right? All these dynamics flew in and it just fell apart. And it's weird because knowing what I have now, I would let that happen again 20 times over because it got me to where I am now. But in the moment, bro, all hell broke loose because I don't have the skills. My parents and my wife and both of us, we come from divorced families. So statistically, our odds of divorce shoot up the skyrocket ladder. We have multiples that shoots divorce up higher. And then we also just, we came back to our hometown. And that's where it gets even more dicey. because now you're home around a bunch of people who know who you are, and they would have poke and prod, and they know the people, and they go out and hang out, and they become little comfort zones. And next thing you know, like you're just doing dumb stuff, and you're hanging out with the wrong people, and you're going from the guy who was in college in the NFL to now you're hanging with the guys who weren't that good in life to begin with, and they're just hanging out with them doing dumb stuff. So too many dynamics to name, wow, to be quite honest, but it all fell apart.
You say that you teach people to access the power of identity. And I think identity is really powerful because, you know, when you become an investor, multifamily investor, you need to adopt that mentality because I think your behaviors are belief driven. If you believe you can identify as an investor, you're going to have a much higher success or higher probability, yeah, to become that person. So how do you help people access that power?
Yeah. So
examples.
The big thing is realizing we all have an identity. It's not that this like magical thing's being installed. We all got it. Mm-hmm. It's you've been wired neurologically and psychologically to be who you are right now, all of us. And it's based on experiences that we've had, right? And whether some experience in the past led you to think a certain way and your brain to actually pattern a certain way in heightened moments or whatever takes place. So because of that, we all show up as a certain thing. When I say access the power of that, here's the cool thing. We all have this almost instinctual connection of being in alignment with the words we state or how we see ourselves to be, right? If I see myself as the guy that, hey, I do this every day and I do it every day, even if it's a hard thing for someone else to do, they go, how do you do it? I go, it'd be too hard not to do it. It's just who I am, right? So we want to tap into that in a positive way. The problem is most people haven't built that store to tap into. They have been wired to a certain level of difficulty and they won't go beyond that. So I'm sure you guys deal with people who have these big dreams and you go, here, do this, 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 and this. And they go, okay. And they melt away. Or they say they're doing it, but they're not really doing it. Or they come to you like a child, like, can you just do it all for me? You know?
And I go, that's out there.
Exactly. You have to do what I tell you to do. And the thing is, it's not going to be stuff that you're used to doing or you wouldn't need me. And so when I say about tapping into the power of the net, we want to build that store. And what it looks like is you build those stores by doing that dark work, that stuff that it's unseen, it's unsexy, it's difficult, it's arduous. People will ridicule you. They'll be misunderstood by what you're doing. Like people go, like, you're crazy doing that, but you do it anyways. And what happens, you start to develop over time this sense of self to where now you want to be in alignment. If I've done this thing, even forced myself to do it for 30, 60, 90 days, when I wake up now, it's who I am to do that. I'm going to make the calls. I'm going to get that list. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to figure this situation out. It's who I am to do it. When that becomes your guttural sense, it almost becomes an instinctual flow. And that's it's an identity because what it is, it's actual actions you take. That you, his thing, if I put something out, you guys would do something and you wouldn't even give it a second thought. And somebody else would go, how did you do that? What do you mean? It's Monday morning. That's what I do. Right? It's just like this natural sense of self. And the habits you have that you just did something, you just knock these habits out. Again, they go, how do you do it? And the thing is, it's not like it's effortless. It takes time from you. It takes time from us. But in the beginning, it was hard to do like it is for them. And now because it's your identity, it's an alignment piece, it's hard not to do it. It becomes a natural instinctual flow. So when I go and work with people, I go, look, I'm not going to tell you that tomorrow you're going to wake up and feel like somebody different. It ain't how it works, man. Like, it's just, your ass is going to have to work. But here's the thing. We'll figure out what that right work is, and we'll get you to do it. My job is to push you past every sticking point towards some point in time you wake up and look in the mirror and go, it's who I am to do this now. Because that alignment with you being that I person, identifying as a multifamily X, Y, or Z, right? When you identify as that, you will instinctually, effortlessly do those things that people go, how do you do? You go, it's what I do. And that's the piece that people are really looking for. We say we're looking for mindset and motivation. My mindset is what it is. I don't know if the Kobe Bryants and Michael Jordans go, I got a great mindset. You know, like Kobe didn't say that. He says, I made a contract with myself. I don't negotiate. We look at that and label it as a great mindset. It's just who Kobe was. So when you start looking at these people that are great, we don't call it that. We go, like, that's just who I am to do that. And that's the goal, to get to that level, to where when you wake up and do these things instinctually, you have this life you want.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the short answers, dark work, it sounds almost like an Avengers Marvel kind of brand. I mean, I love the name. Can you dive into, you know, how you came up with the brand, what that brand represents, mission statement, yeah, and core values of it?
All of it. To be honest, man, it was an accident. It was a... So this is my Anthony Trucks logo back here. It was my old one. This is the Dark Work logo was here's the thing. I always talked about my story at 15 years old, and people go, my team one day goes, what's this work in the dark you talk about? I go, I don't know. It's like the stuff that you do that no one's cheering you on to do. It's just like the sense that gives you pride and confidence to battle for what you desire in defining moments of life. And someone goes, I like that. Like this dark work. Oh yeah, dark work. They go, I like this. Let's see if the world likes it. So I started talking about it. Everybody seemed to like the name of it. And so it kind of became this thing. And as I dove into the work of it, there's actually, I mean, there's a lot of science behind it. There's a lot of, you know, psychology work behind it. There's neuroscience behind it, which is awesome. But really what it is the, we'll call it the mission statement. I want you to wake up with a sense of limitless, ridiculous power over your life. I want you to have this sense of like, I got anything that comes my way. I can't give that to you though. You have to go build it for yourself. But I can give you a pathway to build it. So dark work is the work you do in the dark to shine in the light. And the goal for me is in the work of identity is to optimize your identity for peak performance. Whatever your performance level needs to be, we're going to show you to optimize your identity because I want to give you an end destination you arrive in, which is a dominator's identity. Now, dominator's identity is not as overbearing as it feels and sounds like, because all it means dominates to govern and control. You can govern and control your meditation routine, you know, like, but I want you to be in some stinking control of your damn life. And so I teach people to build into that sense when they show up in a defining moment, right? The marriage is on the line. The business is on the line. This deal's on the line. They go, let's do it. Hey, I've done too much work in the dark to lose this in the light. And you lean in differently. It's a difference between somebody going like, oh, I box or I'm a boxer. The connection to what it is in the fighting moments is vastly different based on how you see yourself. So the dark work I do is you creating that backside work and doing it to where when you show up to your life in the moment where you want to be great, you have what you need to lean in. Because you know you guys battle this, the imposter syndrome people have. Like, who am I to? And I go, I can't think of any phenomenal athlete I know that killed himself in the offseason, ran, lifted, all the stuff, studied the playbook, and came on the first day of the game and goes, I don't know if I can go out there, coach. No. They go, let me loose. Like, they don't know what they're about to see, right? So when I hear people go, I got imposter syndrome, and you got laziness, for being honest. You're just lazy. Because if you do the work, that eliminates itself. You just, when you know you've got down for the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you know you've been doing the work, bro, let me loose. It's not this imposter. So when people have that, I go, you just got to go to work again.
You haven't put in enough. I will say an interesting phenomenon that happens when you've committed to the level that you're discussing. And one of the things that you're going to have to come to grips with is that people will expect this from you almost like you're a robot, and it almost gets insulting at times.
It's annoying.
Yeah, no, but there's things that you will show up, but you can't be a little bee about it. That's the thing. You can't go and like, oh.
Yeah.
But you will experience things in life where others just think that's you and try to take advantage. So you need to be aware of that. And I'm not saying whine and like I probably sound like I'm bitching about it right now. Yeah. I'm not saying that. Just know that when you get to that level where you're so ridiculously prepared and everything that you're doing, people just know they can rely on you. They will take it for granted. Oh, that's just Gino because he just does that all the time. Yeah. Screw that shit. Gino works his ass off and there's results that happen because of that. Don't take that shit for granted. And it's something that over time starts to piss you off, but it is what it is. And it's the same thing I wanted a business, right?
I think it's a matter of respect because they see you and it looks effortless to you.
That's the thing. You're working your ass off.
Exactly.
You're working your ass off.
100%. I call it effortless effort, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it takes energy, but it doesn't kill me like it killed. There's actually science behind this. So think about this way. I got a feeling that if I sat you down and said, hey, get this done, it was a list of things, you'd knock that shit out. No problem. Other people literally will do this. They'll look at it and go, okay, I'm going to lean in. There you go, right? And there's a study done by Inc. magazine, and it found that if I give you an 8-hour day, the average person can get 2 hours and 57 minutes of focused work done. Their brain literally can't focus beyond that. You sit me down, I'm going to get 6 hours before I even break a sweat. No problem. And I had to build to that. So what happens is when I'm getting to the back end of a year, what you did every day was 3 hours. I did 6. I got 2 years to year one. But you look at me and think it's effortless. No, I'm just stronger. It's like a guy that goes to a weight room and you can't even lift it to 125. This dude's bicep curling it, right? You just have a different strength. So it looks effortless. But no, that shit takes effort. So it's a gift and a curse because it looks to them like, oh, it's easy for that guy. I can put more on his plate. And you're like, no, this actually takes work. So to be seen in that light is a big thing. But you are right. It takes a ton of effort, and people don't see it that way because we don't struggle like they struggle.
You're describing my wife's life for the last 25 years. We have 6 kids. She homeschools the kids. She does 3 loads of laundry a day, cooks 3 meals a day. And we never really complain. Nobody really knows it. And everyone thinks I've got this amazing life and it's like picturesque. And we have the
struggle. They just do it. It's just,
So you're, I'm thinking about this, I'm like, wow, that is my wife. And she's gotten better and she doesn't complain. Like she knows what she has to do. And if she doesn't cook the meal, we don't eat. So there's no sense in complaining about it. You better suck it up, buttercup, and do it. So I'm going to give her a big thank you after this podcast. Yeah.
But it is very annoying. I know what you're talking about, man. Because Jake, there are a lot of people that ask a lot of me. And I've got really good at saying no. And then here's the thing. When we're also good at stuff, we like to flex the muscle, man. I like to let people know how dope I am. Not going to lie. But I have learned that if I don't have something in my calendar I have personally said yes to for myself, it's harder to say no to somebody. So I find myself, oh, I could get that. I could do that. I got you. And I start packing my schedule with yeses for other people. Then when I find something I want to say yes to for myself, I got to say no to it because I already said yes to you. Mm-hmm. So I found that I stack my schedule 4 to 6 weeks out. If you can wait that 4 to 6 week window, it's good to go. But if you can't, I'm not going to say no to something I said yes to for myself. And it allows me to keep those boundaries proper so people don't just start grabbing off of me all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it will happen. Yeah. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from 0 units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Yield Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from 0 to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey in multifamily.
All right, we are back. This is a personal question, a personal shout-out request here, and this is for all the former football players out here. So before the show, we were talking a little bit about football, and I want to see if you can articulate this. Mm-hmm. You take the average 18-year-old man, played high school football, had some success. Many times early on in life, post that high school career where they had success, they say, that was the best time of my life. Can you articulate for folks that haven't played or maybe, you know, haven't really got the reps in, can you articulate why that is and what differentiates football from, say, like baseball or some of these other sports?
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics there, man. You open up a whole – we write a book on this one. I think one of the things is you have a melting pot of personalities. You know, soccer is very similar to players. Baseball is fairly similar to players. Football – I could have a guy from the Midwest who's, 6'5" and, corn-fed white boy, they call him, right? The big offensive lineman. With a guy that's from East Compton who's out there, got his J's on and he's a little DB. So you have this melting
pot. And the kicker from Australia, right?
Right? Legit. It's just all over the place. So I like that beauty of it. But what it does is it gives you a safe space to have danger. And that is something that hardens people. You ever remember back the movie 300? You ever watch that movie, the very beginning of it?
Yeah.
And it's the first 7 minutes of this is going to make a ton of sense, I hope, for people. The first 7 minutes of this movie, all it is talking about how Leonidas was a child. He was his kid and as a boy. His father used to work with him. And so his son, like he's in a safe environment being dangerous. He's punching his kid in the mouth and teaching him never to surrender, never to give in, right? And then at some point it goes, the boy at the age of 14 was ripped from his mother. And it shows her like being pulled back as he takes him. He casts him out to this world to go through the agoge. The agoge means to raise. And agoge was a situation that we were taught to, lie and fight and cheat and steal and kill if need be. He was sent out to the woods to battle this wolf, right? And you see this epic moment. In our lives as men, young men, we need that. Because the world we're going to go into needs us to have the traits necessary to handle the wolves of the world. And if we don't have those traits developed, we're going to get eaten. And it's better to have it happen in a safe, controlled environment than when you have a wife and kids and you're just a guy and all of a sudden someone comes and attacks you in your home or wants your car or like wants your girl when you're 25 years old. It's the first confrontation, right? So what football does, the way it was the best time, is you became something more. you became this, you were pushed to a brink of difficulty, and you leaned into it and you came out and your teammates cheered for you. The camaraderie was there. You got up bloody, but you felt great for what you just did, right? You can't create that behind a computer screen. You can't create that soft in your bed. And so football, what it does is subjects you to an experience, an environment that is, it's gritty and it's gruesome, and the moms don't get it because
there's violence. Let's be honest.
It just is. And when you have that, I'm not saying that the kids should be violent, but they should have a taste for what it is and an understanding of it. So you respect it and you know what is needed from you to rise to that if and when you might need to. Because in all the world, men, there's always that underlying possibility of physical confrontation. I don't ever go there anymore, but I know it exists.
You don't want to go there, but you may be forced to.
You know?
Let's be honest.
Because of football, I understand when it's coming. I have faith in my confidence to handle myself. And I also know how to mind my words because of what's possible. The reason you see a bunch of people get knocked out in public is because they're drunk and they don't understand. Like, if you say this, you can get hit. And so because they didn't
experience. They call it F around and find out.
Yeah, man, that's what it is now. But football, I think the reason we loved it was you had this complete immersive experience tucked away with a group of men, and you learn to go through the violent space and to have joy around that, but also how to control that if necessary. So when you leave that, you're tied to these emotions that only that game was able to elicit. The dopamine, the serotonin, the feelings you had, like this rise. You know, you can't really create that anywhere else. And so you get this rush, but also there's a ton of pride around the doing of the hard things. Mm-hmm. You did so much hard stuff, shared struggle, that you have bonds for life and you feel like somebody different in a good way.
You do have bonds for life. That is I've never asked anyone this question, but that is an amazing, amazing answer. And I think the point about Leonidas, there's probably an important factor to this, to raising men, that we need to go through. And there's a coming of age component to it. And yeah. I'm really glad you pointed that out, man. That's
Jake,
amazing.
We did a podcast on the Julian Gino show with Wild at Heart on John Eldridge's podcast. If anybody's looking to see what a young man, as far as a young man, great book, Wild at Heart. It's more Christian references into it, and I think it's great, but it really, a young, when we're growing up, we need to roam in the woods. We need to go hunting with our dads. We need to go fishing. Mm-hmm. We need to I guess, mess around and mix it up. I think is lacking nowadays. So go watch a podcast, but the book is Wild at Heart. It's an amazing book for anyone who has young men that they're trying to raise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's me, man. I got a 14-year-old, and it's back and forth. We just had a hard, like, come
to challenging Jesus. You? Is he challenging you?
My oldest is good. My oldest is in college. He's got it figured out. Like, he leaned in when I needed him to. My youngest is quietly rebellious, and so he battles me and stuff.
That's what you want. You want that. You want them to rebel.
You want them to an extent. And then the biggest thing
he's like, not up until last night happened.
I'm rebellion. I prefer him to be outright rebellion. The rebellion is it's like a ceasefire. Like, he will rebel by doing nothing. You know, like, okay. Do this. Okay. And he doesn't. I go, son, you're not going to have the option in 4 years when you're a man in the world. You're not going to have the option to not do a hard thing.
Because this door is only open at Thanksgiving, pal, right? You're out of here.
I'm that guy. I literally am the guy. Like, you're going to pay rent. Like, if you don't want to go to school and college, cool. I'll pay for your college. You can pay rent to stay here. Figure it out. But I need him to not have a backstop that he can kind of, okay, I'm going to be safe over here. Yes. There's no release valves. Because when my oldest son finally leaned into doing hard, just a couple days ago, my son, he said, Dad, I had the hardest workout in track I've had in my life or ever. And I go, it's beautiful that you see it this way, because he finally understands the beauty in the difficult work. He goes, I know it because harder was it. And it was good because I know when I go run this year, like, if I can get through this, I can kill it on the track. He's no longer afraid of the hard work. When you get to a level, like you guys, where I get this, I don't like hard work, but I love it. I don't like doing hard things, but I love who I am when I do it. I love the
gotta
expression.
Gotta feel great afterwards, though, doesn't it?
You know, I love to look at myself and go, hell yeah, bro, you did it, right? And that's a beautiful place that we need. All people have to arrive at, men and women. But I can't get my youngest to get there yet. My daughter does it. His twin. My oldest son has arrived there. But he's the guy. If he can find the edge or the corner, he'll cut it. And I'm trying to get him not to. So it's like, with kids, if they can't create the structure off of just sheer necessity, I have to make it. So he's making me make this structure even tighter. But yeah, they need this. All of us need this. And it's just, there's a good study that was done. I can't remember what the science behind it was, but it was actually tied to your brain itself. Listen to this. When you are faced with difficulty or you face difficulty, your brain has what's called like certain levels of stress. There's too much stress and trauma. It's also what's called eustress, a positive stress. And what it does is it forces your brain to code proteins that release more of your dormant DNA. So in fact, doing difficult stuff makes you more of who you're meant to be. I'm a man of faith, and I believe God has a lot of cool things in us, and we have to get into situations to have it come out. And so when people are avoiding, like my son avoids these moments of difficulty, whether it's in the football field or in the classroom or whatever it is he avoids, right? He's not allowing himself to get that eustress to find out more of who he is inside. And so for all of us, we need those moments, both at a psychological level, but also at a neurological level, because when you are faced with that, you become more. You literally, your brain decodes more of who you dormantly are to take on these new challenges.
So it's interesting you say that. As you're saying that, I'm thinking about Jesus. I mean, he did send Jesus here to do some difficult things, railing, yeah, money changers, actually, you know, dying for us, that kind of stuff. It was a lot of difficult stuff. Yeah. He was going against the crowd. So think about the, you know, think about that, what he had to accomplish, picking people who were, you know, less than average sinners and dealing, yeah, with them. And that's just, yeah, an amazing, yeah, analogy that you say that. So, wow, that is awesome. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. I study this stuff. I take time trying to figure it all out, because even Jesus disappeared for years, right? He did dark work. He was off in his wheel. It's all there. And that's why I'm saying, I think a lot of this stuff in life, it's pretty clear and easy. It's pretty clear, but not easy. It's simple, mm-hmm, to understand. Be honest, be forthright. The commandments exist, right? But it's just not easy to live in this world and do it, because you have to go against, mm-hmm, the grain. That's why having a good community is huge. Why you mentioned it, football is big. You're in a, you know, group of people that have a good common goal. And if you just do those things, you'll find that life is good. It's not easy, but it's good, man. Like, my life is not an easy life, but it's a beautiful life, because I've embraced the hard stuff. And I do find that in time, the more things I do that are right, they don't feel easy to do. Like if I owe somebody money because I, you know, some got discounted or in the accountant, like, hey, I'm going to give you that money. Or if somebody, you know, I'm wrong in something. All right, you know what? I'm wrong. Like, I have to eat that. But when you do those things, it's hard to do, but it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. You find that not only do you feel good about yourself, people around you like you, you get better relationships, and more of life flows to you. I get more opportunities. I get more conversation. I get to meet guys like yourself because of how I function in this world. Again, it's not easy, but it is fairly simple and straightforward.
But how do you feel knowing that you owe somebody money?
I don't like it, but
no shit. That's the point, though. Like in the moment, until the, like, just use the payment for example.
Yeah,
you're,
yeah,
like, shit, we didn't pay somebody the money they owed. We screwed up, right? And it happens. I'm not saying you did something wrong. It was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
That moment that you're going through, that's actual pain. The minute, yeah, the money is released, oh,
gone. You're done.
And that's the thing that folks need to understand. If you get through the pain, life is better. I think that's the summation of so much of what you're talking about. It's folks' resistance to push through that wall that's, mm-hmm, causing them more pain than they realize.
I agree.
And they just can't go. They can't go into the dark work, man.
Yeah, that's it. You hit it on the nose. That's what it is. People's,
I love it.
And but the thing is, you jump in. It's the way I explain it. Even in my book, I wrote like kind of a flow of how identity flows. You're never going to muster up the confidence to like and logically convince yourself what it's going to feel like is jumping off a cliff into water. Like, you know you're not going to die. It's just going to be scary, right?
Yes.
But when you do it, all of a sudden you land in the water and go, oh, that was fun. This is good. This is cool. And you do it again and again, right? But the first time is this, you got to shut the brain down, because the brain's giving you all the things it can to keep you safe, right? So you stay here and you're like, but I should go. No, you're going to die. No, stay. It's a back, but just go. And then when you do, you get this outcome. You go, oh, crap, look at that. I made my first sale. Like, I have my first multifamily. Look, it worked out, you know? And then all of a sudden it climbs and it builds and it builds, but you got to jump off that cliff.
That is awesome, man. Anthony, if folks want to get a hold of you, they want to work with you, what's the best way to do that?
I'll just go to Instagram at Anthony Trucks. Or if you want to find out about the Dark Work brand that's going to be releasing soon, you can go to darkwork.com.
Gino, I got to make this statement. Our good buddy Chris Voss would label him a late night DJ voice. You got a sweet late night DJ voice, man. It is built for radio.
Yeah. WTO in the morning. It's one of those right there.
That's right. Gino, take us home.
Jake, as you know, before I do the recap, he works on the voice. The voice is just not natural. I'm sure he's doing some vocal stuff back there.
I'm just to be honest, about 2 years ago, this thing settled into what it is. No idea how it's
recording. Prove me wrong. I got to do the work. Anthony's just a born natural. Okay, I got it. Anthony, listen, I love your story. I always like to do these recaps, but for you, it's something special because you grew up in a challenging, tough neighborhood. You went through the foster care system at the age of 15. You saw that you wanted to do football. You sucked at it, but you saw some girls who were like, oh, man, I want to get their digits. So I got to get good at this football thing. How do do it? I got to start working out. I got to start putting in the effort. And that effort ultimately paid off. Got to college, went to the University of Oregon, 3 years in the NFL, but that did not last long, not for long. And once you got knocked out of the NFL, I think problems arose and you had a difficult, challenging life. You talked about your suicide thoughts. You talked about the struggles with your marriage, and it was all about the dark work. And you didn't understand it at the time, but that started to build. And I think that created the person that you are. And you said you'd go back 20 times and relive that pain and relive those experiences because that's made you the person that you are. And the dark work, for everybody who didn't pay attention or just didn't hear it, it's really important. It's the work you do in the dark to share in the light. That's what dark work's all about. Go check out Anthony Trucks. I want to thank you for being on the Jake and Gino show, and it's been an honor to have you on today, brother.
Hey, man, enjoy it. It was a good conversation. I like you guys. You guys are good folks, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He is the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.